What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy Monday, folks. We're back. It's Dio and Dave on the Out of Sight podcast. We are 6 days out from Super Bowl 57. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Going to be a great one. We have to talk about Sixers basketball, however, fortunately or unfortunately, depending on how you see things. They went 2-1 over the past 7 days, or 2-2, and then they just had that horrific, horrible loss to the New York Knicks yesterday on national television. Dave, how upset are you? How done are you with the Sixers being embarrassed on national television? I'm kind of done with it. I'm kind of over it. Can we just not have that happen ever again?
Done with getting embarrassed on national television?
Yes.
Yes. Very, very done with it.
I mean, even on local television, I guess, but like yesterday's game was on national television, so I kind of had to preface the national there.
I think Maxey wasn't back in the lineup yet, and it was James Harden's first game back from a long absence. But I do think of that Houston game at Houston that went to overtime. That was pretty bad. But other than that one, I think that the Orlando loss and the Knicks loss are the worst. I'll add in that one. I think the last two losses of the year are the two worst losses of the year.
Yeah, because that Orlando loss was bad. That was just bad.
Yeah, because you have Maxey was in. Harden was back and healthy. He wasn't like just ramping up or acclimating. Embiid was out there. You have a 21-point lead at home against Orlando, and you just kind of look like garbage. And then against the Knicks, I mean, basically Tom Thibodeau carved circles around his former head coach.
Yeah.
Which
I prefaced it before we started the podcast, and I told you I was going to hold comment until we get started recording. Listen. We all know how upset, how pissed off we are at Doc Rivers sometimes. Can we just always assume that we always have something negative to say about Doc Rivers and everybody can just kind of fill in the blanks where they want?
Yeah, it was especially rough. The Sixers starters built up a quick 20-point lead. I think it was 35-15. The all-bench unit comes in, and within the span of 3 minutes, I think the Sixers were winning 35-32. So it was just completely unnecessary, self-limiting rotations. And it's the same stuff that we could have predicted as soon as they signed a guy like Montrezl Harrell. We could have said, like, you know, as the playoffs start to get closer, He's not necessarily the guy you want out there. He's going to help you win this game or that game. But at this time of year, you should be beginning to rehearse your playoff lineups. And it doesn't seem like the Sixers are doing that, which is funny because you hear the justification for tethering Harden and Embiid's minutes so much together. Well, we want to practice. We're going to play them a ton during the playoffs. So we want to maximize the number of minutes. And that means playing some of these bench units. But then the flip side of that is that doesn't help you in the regular season, and it's not what you're going to do in the playoffs. So you're kind of 0-2 on those two crucial win the one seed and rehearse what you're going to do in the playoffs. Sixers aren't hitting on either of those with what they're currently doing.
And I swear I post the same gift to Twitter every time I see an all bench lineup. It's just the Simpsons clip of Sideshow Bob stepping on all the rakes. I was just like, how many times is Doc going to hit himself in the face with a rake this season? Like, come on, man.
It's pretty crazy that it's this much of a thing. I mean, he's in Philadelphia because he played Montrezl Harrell too much in L.A.
Right.
And now he's playing Montrezl too much 3 years later. And it's the fourth year in a row that he's been making similar mistakes with his backup center and all bench lineup. And apparently Daryl Morey is either unwilling or unable to intervene and control that, take control of that lineup card a little bit, or play some money ball, hard ball, and just trade a couple guys. We might see that at this deadline. I guess we'll see.
I actually saw that tweet that you put out, and I almost laughed a little bit. So I'm just like, you know what? If Daryl wanted to be a vindictive SOB, he'd just walk up and just be like, okay, listen, I've traded Montrezl Harrell. I've traded away, like, whatever. It's just Harrell at this point. Because I can't say we traded away Harrell, we traded away P.J. Tucker, because nobody's taking P.J. Tucker's contract. So I'll just say, listen, I traded away Montrezl Harrell. You have to play someone else at backup center. You have to, because I can't. The fans are not going to allow for this crap anymore.
And it's tough to put it all on Trez. I mean, Ben Dietrich pointed this out on Twitter. When Harden has been out there with Trez, the bench unit has been pretty good. And Shake Milton is a pretty good bench player, and George Niang is a pretty good bench player, and Tyrese Maxey is a very good player who probably shouldn't even be on the bench. It's just when you – and Matisse Thybulle is a good player who helps the team win when he's in certain lineups. But when you put all five of them out there, they can't even compete with the New York Knicks or Orlando Magic. So why do you have to play all five of them at the same time?
Right.
It's beyond me. Doc's clearly not going to change. So it's just a matter of if the organization is okay with it. And so far, we have to assume they are.
All right. So let's shift gears a little bit, because there was some news out of Brooklyn, where you're pretty close to. We've talked about this on the podcast before. Dave is our inside man in the Nets organization. So I get to
far from it.
I get the juicy tea from him whenever I can. Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks. Kyrie requested a trade. He got it like 36 hours later. And okay, that's one contender for the Eastern Conference Finals I don't really have to worry about, because the Nets were rolling even when Durant was down. They had a nice little streak going there. And I looked at it, I was like, all right, Brooklyn is treading water, or even like gaining ground on the top three seeds, and this is without Durant. Durant's gonna come back, and lo and behold, Christ almighty, they're the two seed. What the hell? But now I'm looking at it and I'm like, I'm not gonna say that they're like play in, but I don't think they're a top four seed anymore. Do you?
It's really tough to say, because I don't get the sense that they're done. I mean, they're already connected now by, I think, Jake Fisher with Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam. So
yeah,
before we take our lap that ding dong and the Nets are dead, I think we should see what they've got planned. They've now got the Sixers 2027 1-8 protected pick. That's okay. That's not terrible. It's not great.
It's an asset.
Yeah, they've got an unprotected Mavs 2029, I believe. That's pretty juicy. I can't do the math in my head that quick. I don't know how old Luka is, but I think some team would take the gamble on a pick like that. And, you know, so they have a few assets to play with, and they'll be looking to make change. They're clearly trying to, like, retool. I think Spencer Dinwiddie was connected to the Toronto Raptors, so if they're already looking to flip him, they obviously want some two-way wing talent, you know, modeling the Boston Celtics, who tried out Tatum, Brown, and Smart. Both guys play both ends of the floor and make for a very formidable team. They want to put that around KD. It's not a terrible idea. So it looks to me like for now they're trying to continue to sell KD on contending and hope he's content to stay beyond the season.
With Kyrie getting his trade, and we don't know what the heck is going to happen with Durant, and it's like, does Kevin come back, look at this roster, and he's like, all right, you know what, Kyrie's not here, and I don't like what you did even with everything post Kyrie trade, you know what, I'm out. Like, can you work something out in the next like 48 hours, 72, 48, 72 hours? Like, I don't know if that's possible. It's a little like, I'm sure teams are calling about Durant, but if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm really starting to panic right now. Like, the post Kyrie moves have to be on point. Otherwise, Durant is walking, if not this trade deadline, but definitely offseason.
Yeah, I think we got our clue as to how KD felt about it all back in July, the day or two after they couldn't lock up Irving for a long-term deal that he wanted. KD asks out, and so they ignored it. They hoped it would go away, and winning 18 out of 20 games for a minute, it looked like it did. But then the Nets tried to work something out with Irving in the 2 years, $78 million range with stipulations or whatever it was, and that insulted him. So you got to think KD wanted originally James Harden and Kyrie Irving inked for 4 years each in Brooklyn, and now he's got neither of them. It's not surprising he might have a wandering eye. You're already hearing these rumors that maybe the Boston Celtics could get involved here. People are keeping an eye on the fact that Jaylen Brown is not playing tonight. I could tell you that the Nets went from plus 550 to win it on DraftKings, which was like the second or third best odds in the entire league, all the way down to plus 1400 with Irving's request. Then yesterday they were plus 2500, and now they're plus 2000. So Vegas is saying, like, okay, we thought that they might just fully rebuild, but now we kind of think they're going to try this needle thread thing. So, yeah.
And here's the thing about Kyrie, and I am just flabbergasted when, teams keep trying to, we're the team that can fix Kyrie. Okay, you posted this in your opinion piece. The Sixers needed to call Brooklyn for everybody. So if you hold on 1 second, I'll give you the opportunity to advocate for trading for Kevin Durant again. But 2017 forces a trade from a team with LeBron near his peak. 2018 gets hurt for like the fifth time in his career. 2019 quits on a young Boston team and leaves. 2020 gets hurt again. 2021 gets hurt again and refuses to get vaccinated so he can play. And now this year wants a 5-year max. I'm sorry, if I'm an owner or I'm a general manager, I see that track record prior to 2022. I'm not giving you a 5-year max because I can't count on you.
I think Mark Cuban looked at it like he abandoned LeBron, he abandoned the Celtics, he abandoned the Nets, but he's one for three getting a title in those. And if everyone was healthy in 2021, that would have been
Sure.
probably two titles with the Nets. So if with health, they might have won two championships in three of his quote unquote disaster stints, that's a risk that I might be willing to take when my status quo is squandering Luka Doncic's prime. Let me roll the dice. You hear him talk about taking calculated gambles on Shark Tank all the time. So I guess that's his POV here.
And if you're looking at Dallas, if you're looking at that situation, all right, cool. Kyrie's here. We may not be able to lock him up long term. We can pair him up with Luka and see what happens in the playoffs. And if it doesn't work out, we don't like where it's going. Does he have a player option, or is he a UFA in the offseason? Because if so, that's 39 million off the books. Christian Wood is another 14. Dwight Powell is another 11. Like, they can do some things in the offseason if they want to, if this Kyrie thing doesn't work out.
Yeah, I don't think that they are, excited about the cap space if it didn't work out. I think
Right. I'm just saying, like, devil's advocate.
Dinwiddie would have been someone that they might have liked to re-sign for a more team-friendly deal moving forward. His money was non-guaranteed, and DFS, Dorian Finney-Smith, was seen as one of the best values in the entire NBA, aimed for around 12 to 14 million over the next handful of years. So I think they would have to look at it all as a loss. I mean, even going back to not being able to lock up Jalen Brunson, and then turning
Right.
to a deal like this, and not wanting to sign Kyrie for whatever reason that became their decision, or even worse, from their eyes, they want to sign him but they cannot, and he leaves. Either way, that would be something that's not ideal for Mavericks fans, unless you just don't like rooting for Kyrie, which is totally respectful and understandable too. He's not the most likable player by any stretch. So I think the plan here is that it's going to work out and then they're happy to pay him. And from Kyrie's eyes, it was, well, if you guys are not going to give me more than a 2-year, $80 million deal here, I could go get a $40 million per year for 4-year deal somewhere else. And as JJ Redick pointed out on that Knicks Sixers game live, from the player's POV, he's getting a lot more money if indeed Cuban maxes him.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to come back a little more Brooklyn talk with regards to the Sixers. I asked Dave to, like, if the Nets are really trying to blow everything up because, you know, they don't know if they can keep Durant happy. I said, Dave, come up with some good fake Sixers Nets trades and let's see what happens. Let's see what we can come up with. So we're going to do that after the break. Out of Sight Podcast, back after these words.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/box. That's klaviyo.com/box.
It's the Out of Sight Podcast. It's Adio and Dave here on the podcast on the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network. Before the break, we went into the depths of the situation in Brooklyn with Kyrie requesting a trade, getting his trade to the Dallas Mavericks, and Dave wrote a piece about the Sixers needing to call the Nets about Kevin Durant, Seth Curry, and, well, now not Kyrie Irving because he's been shipped elsewhere. And I got to be honest, if they had traded for Kyrie Irving, I would have just found where you are and just, like, burn you to the ground. Like, why would you even suggest that? Like, what are you doing? But, yeah, I looked around, and I was playing with the trade machine, as one does around this time of year. It's a very busy website this time of year. Almost crashed on me twice today. I don't know if you came up with anything, and I'll let you go after me. The only thing that I could come up with, because I'm not trading Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey for Kevin Durant, I like where this team is with those two. If Kevin is like, all right, screw it, trade me to Philadelphia and let me win a title with Joel and James, fine, I'll swallow it during the parade, whatever. The one I came up with, and this ties into some news that came out today, Furkan Korkmaz wants a trade. Much to the chagrin of my property on Korkmaz Island. Sorry, I might just have to sell the property outright. But I'm taking Korkmaz, House, and Shake Milton. I'm sending him to Brooklyn. I'm getting Seth Curry back here.
Yeah, I don't think that they would have much interest in that, but
maybe some filler draft picks. I don't know if they have, like, I don't even know if they have, like, seconds left anyway.
They've got one good second, but the Nets are trying to win the championship and convince Kevin Durant to stay. Basically getting Shake Milton, who's not as good as Seth Curry and not as valuable to the Nets. It's kind of a laughable proposition for them at this point. I don't think they'd have even a roster spot for Korkmaz next season that they would like to pay. So
with draft picks, this deal is only intriguing if Durant gets traded first.
If if Seth Curry went to them and said, there's too much upheaval here, I am going to leave you in free agency.
Right.
And definitely not resigning. Then it would give them at least consideration to trade him. You still might say, you know what? No, you're worth
it. It out.
The risk of losing you when we can still try to pay you and keep you isn't high because the stakes are so big. If we don't do this right and Kevin Durant says, I demand a trade, we're big losers. So we might just keep you even though you're going to leave us, hoping that it makes him have more fun and a better title run. But if they at least considered it and you said Matisse Thybulle and Daniel House and a second round pick, and they could turn around and use that second round pick to go target someone else.
Okay.
Maybe that, you know, that's the kind of thing that they might consider. If they insisted upon Niang instead of Matisse, maybe they would consider that because they're filling their need for a shooter and getting the pick. And then they can keep Niang longer term. I don't know. That's the kind of thing that might appeal to them more than, you know, the poo-poo platter you started with. But
it's hard to pull deals together with these two teams. I tried to get Joe Harris here. I tried to get TJ Warren here. I even tried to get Patty Mills here. It was not working salary cap wise.
Yeah, the problem is that they want to win it. You know, if they were rebuilding, this would all be easier. But because they're still eyeing contending, it just – you need those magical situations like we had where Ben doesn't want to be here and James doesn't want to be there, and now it all makes sense. We can start talking. Otherwise, you're better off calling a team like maybe the Spurs or the Jazz.
Can I just do transfer TJ Warren straight up? Let's just do it. I've wanted TJ Warren on this team for like 3 years now. Can we just get this done?
Trez, for his like $2 million, but also a negative trade value, is that's when you're down bad.
I know. People are listening to this podcast and like, the F is this kid talking about? He has no idea how to build trades. Yeah, you're right. I probably don't, because like I said, it's impossible to build half decent win-win trades with these two teams. Also, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets, they've already been pantsed by Daryl Morey already, so I don't know if they're really wanting to do that again.
Yeah, they might feel like they got a lemon in Ben Simmons, who just hasn't been healthy in the Nets uniform. Royce O'Neal, you mentioned him. He's an interesting guy. Yeah, they don't have any interest in moving him if they want to win games, but if all of a sudden they don't, he is who they got for the Sixers' own 2023 pick, the one that they deferred the 2022 and allowed us to get Melton, and they took the 2023 and traded it for O'Neal. The Sixers could put together two contracts like Korkmaz and Matisse and get in the ballpark for him for sure if they were interested in that.
In other trade news, guys on the like Matisse Thybulle is always seemingly in trade discussions, like all
which
the
is
time.
Funny because Keith Pompey wrote that he's no longer untouchable, and I'm like,
it's
wait,
ridiculous!
Don't they offer him every few months?
So it came out that the Atlanta Hawks are interested in Matisse.
Yeah, Kings, Warriors, Hawks are the recent Matisse sniffers.
So I'm sorry, Atlanta. There's almost nothing on your team that I would trade for Matisse Thybulle. Not even like the Holiday Brothers. No way. Like, there's nothing there that intrigues me about that, about your roster and its construction. Sacramento for Thybulle plus one or two pieces. You're looking at like Davion Mitchell or like Malik Monk. I'm like, no, nothing really throwing me there. What was the other? Who was the other team? It was
Warriors.
Golden State. I mean, if we could somehow get Klay Thompson, that would be awesome. But no, I'll be realistic. I'll be realistic here.
Yeah, the only one that you named who might work would be Justin Holiday. But if you don't want him, then there's really nothing on these three teams that I'm looking at. So I think this would be more of a three-way deal, or each one is tricky.
If Golden State was like, all right, we'll take All right, Thybulle, and how do you feel about Dante DiVincenzo? Like, he can play where he went to college. I wouldn't immediately hang up the phone, but I'd be like, all right, that's a decent start at least. Like, let's sweeten the pot on your end a little bit more.
Yeah, he's in the value matching and salary matching ballpark here for sure. If they did their film work on him and their analytics work on him and they said this is a win for us, then there you go.
I always liked DiVincenzo when he played in Villanova. I thought he could have been really special in Milwaukee, but injuries kind of took time away from that. And he's,
what are his nicknames? Delaware Jordan and the Big Ragu or something?
The Big Ragu. I love the nickname White Dante. Like, that's my favorite.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm not even going to explain why. I'm not even going to explain that nickname, so we'll just move on. All right. More roster movement. Dave, is it possible that Center City might be coming back? Because they, Jahlil Okafor is back in the organization. He's playing for Delaware. I didn't think he would ever come back to this organization. Guys like Daryl, they love Daryl Morey apparently, and there's talk about the Sixers in the market for Nerlens. What? Explain this to me.
Imagine if we came full circle and had a glut at center. Well, I guess technically we've always had a glut at center because there's always like four centers on this roster, no matter what, right?
And only one of them is an all-star or like, you know, above replacement.
Yeah, the team just hasn't been able to fix this backup center thing, and it is funny when everyone is...
They did fix it! They fixed it with Andre Drummond. They didn't re-sign him. God damn it.
Well, he got traded for James, right? So that was a necessary evil.
Son of a... All right, yeah. But with Nerlens at 9.2 over 2 years, like, I don't... What's the trade package for that? Like,
it would be like we talked about, it would be like Matisse and Korkmaz kind of deal, maybe with a pick, but you'd have to feel confident that Noel is healthy. And
yeah,
I know my Knicks fans friends can tell me you certainly can't be confident of that.
I need the medicals. I need those to be pristine or as close to pristine as possible before I even consider that.
Yeah, I mean, this was an ongoing saga because, like, they really downplayed what he was dealing with, and it went on for months. It was like, oh, he's healthy to start last season. Oh, he's totally healthy. And then he just was out of the lineup and out of the lineup and out of the lineup. And you didn't hear what the heck was going on until like months into the season. And then he was in and out of the rotation. So, you know, you'd need a clean bill of health for sure. But on paper, if healthy, he represents a guy who could give you some switching defensively, some rim protection, and catch some dunks from Harden on the lob when Embiid sits, some way to convince Doc to play James Harden when Joel Embiid sits. That's what you got to be targeting, because right now Doc's not doing it, and you saw it versus the Knicks. When Harden and Embiid sit, I mean, the team just gets pummeled by bad teams.
Is there a backup center that the Sixers could pick up that would be like at least a slight net positive? Like, I don't know anybody in the buyout market that would even be possible. Like, the buyout market this season is going to be slim pickings.
Yeah, there were teams last year that were able to cobble together neutral or even positive plus minuses when their superstar or star center. Like, when Rudy Gobert would sit in Utah, they salvaged those minutes without having massive negatives with Donovan Mitchell and Hassan Whiteside, who's not even in the NBA right now, right? So,
yeah.
If you have a guy like Harden, you should, in theory, be able to not lose those minutes. But the team has been unwilling to deploy James fully when Joe sits, and I don't really get it.
I don't understand, like, what I don't get it. It's been a problem. It is a problem. It has.
It's
been
just
a problem.
Doc. It's just what Doc likes to do. He likes to play his bench stuff and. You know, he plays his starting unit more than everyone else, and you can see why his starting unit is good. But
all right,
it's not really a recipe to win the title.
Last and finally, speaking of centers, Joel Embiid James Harden, both not named All-Star Game starters. James Harden, I can kind of agree with, but Joel not being an All-Star starter is kind of a travesty. It's a mockery of a sham of a travesty, the likes of which we haven't seen in a while. I wanted to ask you this. Do you think that gets into like the psyche of these players and just like, oh, I wasn't a starter, then you know what? I'm going to like go out and I'm going to ball out and improve myself, which is what we didn't want Joel to do at the start of the season anyway. And now he's going to be playing the second half with this giant chip on his shoulder. He's going to be really pissed off, and it could be really good or it could be really bad, because if it's really good, then hey, maybe he wins MVP. If it's really bad, oh no, we go into another playoff run with a not 100% Joel.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Joel came out and he smoked Jokic at home, and he completely he flipped the narrative of the MVP. He cut his own odds from like 8-1 to 4-1 to get MVP. And then after that game, he's kind of looked like he was just ready for the All-Star break, because he didn't look good against Orlando. He didn't look against Orlando again, and then he didn't look great against the Spurs or the Knicks. You know, he put up his numbers, but that the Sixers went like 2-2 in these games with some like viral moments of him not even trying is just pretty weird. Harden, on the other hand, Harden was a similar story. Like, he wrote that it's the disrespect on his Instagram. He wasn't even voted an All-Star, period. I mean, I think it's pretty right. unprecedented. Top seven on the NBA Kia MVP ladder overall, and he's not even an All-Star in his conference. He's leading the league in assists per game at this point.
They hate the process. They just hate the damn process. That's what it is. We've been saying this all year.
But I saw some people like betting on the games and saying, oh, he's going to really stick it to San Antonio. Oh, he's going to show Julius Randle, who deserved to be an All-Star. And instead, he looked like he was just really old and tired in the last couple games.
And if that's the case, if that's really what's going on and that's the story, then I think if you're Daryl, you at least have to pick up the phone and have the conversation like, look, you weren't an All-Star starter. You weren't even an All-Star, like, at all. Like, why don't, how important is this game to you? Like, do you want to just go and like sit in civvies? But yeah, if you want to take the, if you want to rest that, then that's cool. That's fine.
What do you mean? Offer him to sit just out a few games?
Just tell him, just like, listen, don't even, I know the All-Star game is like inconsequential, and like, it's not like guys don't really go hard in the All-Star game, but yo, just take that time off, go hang with your son, go hang with your family, James, party somewhere, but like, come back rested. Like, that's what I'm thinking. If I'm general manager, I'm doing that. I'm like, look, just take that week and just relax, period. Like,
get your head right.
Get your head right. No basketball whatsoever. Just like, have fun, friends, family, whatever.
Yeah, well, Embiid will be there either way. Harden will not be there, and he'll probably be in Houston, I'm guessing, for a week, well, unless he goes somewhere tropical.
More viral videos incoming from James Harden.
there might be, but yeah, this team looks, among the contenders, I'm not sure that there's a team that looks like they need a rest more than Philadelphia.
Yeah, they look more spent than some of these other teams, I will say that. I agree with that. That has been this week's Out of Sight podcast. At next week's podcast, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood, we have to talk about the Eagles Super Bowl victory. Last I checked on DraftKings, the Birds are still favored by 1.5.
Seems small.
Which is interesting. Like, Mahomes is still kind of hobbled, so I'm like,
he's not going to be 100%. Kadarius Toney, last I checked, wasn't practicing. Juju not practicing. Kelsey had back spasms. Hardman is out.
But yeah, they got Edwards-Helaire back. There we go. No, I'm kidding.
if he sees any snaps, that's an advantage, Eagles.
I'm almost tempted to bet the alternate spread and take it up to 6.5. And I think I saw Eagles by 6.5, and I think that number was like +235 or something like that.
You mean bet the Eagles to cover the 6.5?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, and I was just like I saw that and I was like, definitely see that
for sure. I like that. Like, +235.
Let's do that. I'll double check the lines and I'll tweet it out for the people. But until next week,
you wouldn't be able to rest comfortably because Patrick Mahomes is that good.
No, but, no, that backdoor cover is going to be a little bastard, and I know he would.
Yeah, but I at this point, I'm looking at it like Eagles win somewhere around almost 70%.
My predicted score right now as it stands is 31-21. That's
okay.
That's where I am with it. And this is my prop bet especial. Take this if you want, but Miles Sanders, Super Bowl MVP, plus 2,500. That's where I'm going.
Wow. Bold.
Because Kansas City's run defense is not good.
Yeah, but they like to give it to Gainwell and Boston also.
If Miles Sanders has like 115, 120 yards and like two touchdowns, like some big healthy runs, like that's Sanders all the way.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
But we'll see what happens on Sunday, and if they win, you may or may not get pictures and video of me trying to climb poles or like septa terminals or whatever.
The Empire State Building is going to be green, but I hope you don't climb that one.
No, that's a little bit too much altitude for me.
Yeah, yeah.
Until next week, follow the site, libertyballers.com. Follow me on Twitter at DOB Royster. You can follow Dave at David Early. Follow the website itself on Twitter at Liberty_Ballers. Until next week, if anything really, really important comes down the pipeline during the trade deadline, we will be all over it on the site, libertyballers.com, all of our Twitter handles. So just keep an eye out for all of that. And until next week, go Birds. Peace, love, and Sixers, everybody.